Let me invite you to turn to the scriptures, to Isaiah chapter 9. And we're just going to read a couple of verses from this portion of scripture. Isaiah chapter 9. Let's hear the word of God. I'm going to pick up just an earlier verse from 6 and 7. People walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And then down to verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen. May God bless us, the reading of his word. Let's take a moment to pray together. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Father, that written many years ago still speaks into today, still speaks into our hearts today. Help us this morning to hear you speak. May your servant be obedient to what you say. Help me to listen to you, Father, and to share what you have placed on my heart for this day. Bless our hearts, Lord, as we receive what you give to us now. In Jesus' name, amen. I have never had a child, so I don't know what that feeling is like the first time ever when you've had to hand your child over to somebody else to care for them. I don't know what that's like. The only way I can sort of partially imagine it is that at this stage in my life, I have an elderly mother, elderly aunt who I care for, and it's like I have become the parent and they have become the child. And so on those occasions when we have gone into to hospital and I've had to leave them there and come out, and I look at them and they look so vulnerable, and I'm scared, are they going to get the right care? Are they going to be okay? Are they going to miss me? What's it going to be like? It's the only way that I can equate with that. And over these last couple of weeks, as I've been reading through this passage, I've been trying to think about what it must have been like for God that very first Christmas. For the angels in heaven, as this moment arrives for Jesus to be born into the world. And some of you are probably saying, there's something seriously wrong with that woman. But when you think about it, think about this build-up, this nine-month build-up that there has been. There's been thousands of years build-up, but there's been this 9 months build-up as Jesus grows within Mary, and this day approaches for the birth. Because I get the feeling that in heaven things must have been really, really exciting. That angels were singing and praising and couldn't wait to see this event happen. And that God, having handed over his son to this young couple, is just waiting for what's about to happen, because he knows that this child is going to be loved by this couple, is going to be treated well by this couple, is going to be raised well by them. But he also knows what his son is going to face 30-odd years down the line. When we move from a tree to celebrate Christmas to a tree that Jesus hangs on. God chose to send his son as a vulnerable baby. laid in a manger. Prophets had said that it would happen. Isaiah, who we read, had said on more than one occasion that this was going to happen. He said in Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to the son and will call him Emmanuel." A prophecy written over 700 years before Christ was born. A prophecy that was fulfilled in Luke chapter 1. When it says that the Holy Spirit says about Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born and will be the Son of God." God saying, this is going to happen. The prophet Micah wrote about the birth, "You, Bethlehem, even though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come one for me, one who will rule over Israel, whose origins are from the ancient of times." And the Gospel of Matthew follows through in that whole story, fulfilling what had been said. And so we have the birth of the child, a child born, fully human, who would be raised by Mary and Joseph, who would be taught in the ways of God by his father, Joseph, who would be taken to the synagogue, who would be taught all the things of God there, who would live a life fully understanding what you and I go through every day. He understands that because he was human. And yet Isaiah here says that not only was he born a child, he is a son given. He is the Son of God given for you and me, both fully human, but also fully God. And that is what you and I celebrate today. This gift that God offers to you and to me this day, his son Jesus that he sent to the earth for you and me, the son who chose to come to earth, who chose to lay aside all of his majesty, that he could come and live on earth to save you and to save me. And that is the gift that God gives you today. And whilst we have this amazing baby born in all vulnerability, we have the flip side of that in these verses where it tells us that the government will be on his shoulder. In the NIV it says shoulders. In the King James it says shoulder, singular. He will govern. He will hold it all together. The government that Jesus will bring is very different from the government that you and I live under today. I want to read you a little bit of what Gail Irwin writes of the government that God promises. What might such a government look like? First of all, it would look like its king. Politicians of this day look for what they can get from you. Jesus looks for what he can do for you. Leaders of this day surround themselves with servants. Jesus surrounds us with his servanthood. Leaders of this day use their power to build their empire. Jesus used his power to wash our feet and make us clean. Leaders of this day trade their influence for money. God so loved the world that he gave. Generals of this day need regular wars to keep their weapons and their skills up to date and ensure their own advancement. Jesus brings peace and rest to hearts. The higher the plane of importance one reaches in this world, the more inaccessible he becomes. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Leaders of this day are desperate to be seen and heard. Jesus sought to be in the background so that he could be useful. The government that Jesus brings is so different to what you and I experience here on earth. There is no comparison. And so Isaiah lays out four pictures of what the Christ child will become, who he will be. And as we look at this, we'll see that there's two elements to each one. We've got Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And he starts with this Wonderful Counselor. And some commentaries, they would say that it's two different things. One is just that he's simply wonderful, and we know that. And some say that he is Wonderful Counselor. The glory of who he is and what he has done for us should fill us with wonder. You can never really look at Jesus, really know him, and be bored. He is wonderful and will fill your heart and mind with amazement. But what distinguishes a good counselor from a bad one? A good counselor will point you in the right direction. They will make an accurate diagnosis and then come up with a course of action. A poor counselor tells you what you want to hear, makes excuses, and blames everyone else. You may leave the session feeling good, but you're not really helped. Jesus tells us the truth about ourselves. He confronted hypocrites, those who looked good on the outside but were playing the religious game. In doing so, Jesus warned us to take a hard look at ourselves and see if we were really his followers. He told the woman caught in adultery to go and to sin no more. He extended grace to her. But he wants us to use our freedoms to pursue holiness, not indulgence. He confronted materialism and told us that we can't worship stuff and still follow him. He warned us to be ready to face opposition if we follow him. He challenged us to deny ourselves and to deny ourselves to take up our cross and to follow him. He told us that we should forgive rather than hold grudges. When we feel a person doesn't deserve forgiveness, he says we should never forget that we did not deserve it either. He said that we should let God be the judge rather than playing God. He told us that we need to look beyond ourselves and see hurting people around us. He said our job is not to strive to live in a higher class. Our job is to be a blessing to others. Jesus is a wonderful counselor because he tells us the truth about our problems, and then he points us in the direction we need to go to find wholeness, healing, and a new and everlasting life. The Bible is full of stories of people who were changed because of the work of Jesus. Jesus can and will transform our lives, transform our thinking, if we will let him do so and follow his instructions. But the second title that Isaiah gives to him is Mighty God. And we constantly remind ourselves that Jesus was both God who became a man. The power that he possessed and continues to hold is that he must be God. And after the resurrection, the disciples saw this. Even Thomas bowed before him and said, "My Lord and my God." What this means practically for us is that Jesus has the power to accomplish his purposes. He will finish what he has started in us. Our Lord has the power, resources, and authority to deliver on every promise that he has made to us. He can change lives. He can heal hurts. He can renew homes. He can restore bodies. And he can make dead people live forever in his kingdom. He can open doors that seem impossible to open. He can cleanse those who have failed miserably. And he can even help those who feel that they have nothing to offer. Our God is like no other God. He transforms, He acts, he redeems, he is all-powerful, he is the mighty God, and he is also the everlasting Father. And for some, that word, Father, evokes all sorts of emotions. A good Father is a source of strength, guidance, and provision. A good Father is one who wants the best from you, but also will learn to pick us up when we make a mess of things. But we have to be honest and recognize that not everybody is blessed with a good Father. In this sinful world, there are some fathers and mothers who fail in their role. However, that does not change the role of a father should play. The Lord Jesus was the Son of God, but is the love of the Father given to us. We have a Father in heaven who has lavished us with love to the very point of giving his Son to us. He held nothing back in his love for us. And he's also the Prince of Peace. When the angels announced the birth of Jesus, they did so by pronouncing peace on earth and goodwill to men. And when Jesus came into the world, the peacemaker had arrived. He makes peace possible for you and me with God. Sin had created a wall between us, and Jesus, in going to the cross, broke through all of that. Took your punishment and my punishment upon himself. He stood in our place, making us possible for us to have peace with God. He's the one who walks through with us in times of trials, giving his peace to us. He has told us that on earth we'll have trials and sorrows, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Our Lord faced all kinds of opposition and abuse from the world and from Satan himself. But he overcame it all, and he rose from the dead. And he promised that that same power that rose him from the dead would live in us. We have peace in trials because God has promised that he will work everything in every situation to accomplish good. No matter what the trial, we know God is with us in the midst of it, and he has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. We have peace because we know that nothing can ever separate us from his love. A child can walk through the most difficult environment when they're holding the hand of a parent whom they believe will protect them. Likewise, as children of God, we walk through life holding his hand. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. As we approach Christmas, the question is, have you turned to the one born in Bethlehem? Is he your Redeemer? Do you celebrate the birth of your Savior? Have you made it personal and taken the step to trust him as your Lord? This Christmas, no doubt we will all receive lots of gifts. But Jesus is the gift that you really want to receive. And he's the gift that has been waiting for you. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that you are the gift that the Father gives us, his Son Jesus. If we don't know you today, Lord, may we receive that gift, accept that gift, and know you as Lord and Savior. Amen.